Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Knock out this Q&A.
Q&A.
That's to the jingle of Moo and Oink.
Who, I don't know what that is.
Never played Moo and Oink for you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dog, you're about to hear.
Sounds made up.
It's not. It is a local commercial from Chicago that all the kids loved. And let me make sure the volume's there because I want everybody. You're going to get the video. But everybody else will get the audio here. Better not be some stupid ad on this shit.
Moo and Oink. We got baby, roast beef, hot links, and
more.
Whoa. Hot dogs, ooh, pork chops, chicken wings, and chicken wings.
I love it.
Give me a wave if you like that fish. Jump up if it's your favorite dish. Tommy likes ribs and chicken wings. If you like you, let me hear you scream.
I love it. They're so happy.
Scream for ribs.
Whoa.
Wave for catfish. Scream for ribs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. That's just a little kid that would come on and people just be like, yeah.
I love local commercials like that.
Chicago had a wealth of them.
Yeah.
A wealth.
The one that that I remember as a kid that is still going today. This business has been in business for 40 years. Cook's Pest Control. Looky, looky, looky. Here comes Cookie. Cook's Pest Control.
It's like, you know, like, listen, they're not expanding. They don't need to. Everybody knows the jingle. They're just dropping in to remind you of it.
KARS, cars for kids. KARS, cars for kids. That's what has been going on forever. What's going on, dude? Pull yourself together, Kyle.
Well, I've took a nap.
Yeah.
It rained in L.A.
Oh, man. Rarity. Rained a lot. Rained all night.
I was out on the balcony enjoying it last night. And then I was like, well, that means the Jeep's going to be flooded, which it was.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So I spent part of the day soaking up water out of the Jeep.
Do you have any carpet in there or anything?
It collects in the tire jack compartment. So it's got plugged down there. I had to pull that out. Not like it's a nice car. If it gets wet, that's what it does. But I would like it to get wet because I was out there doing cool shit, not because I was just sitting on the street.
Traffic was nuts coming over here.
Traffic was nuts.
It's cliche around here, but it's so true. People just, they can't drive in the rain in L.A.
Nobody does that. I had a show last night. Nobody came.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody's scared.
You know what? It's like of all the excuses, the best one in L.A. is just, oh, it's rain. Oh, I'll just have to stay in. I love it. I love an excuse to stay in. I used it today. Couldn't go bike riding. Couldn't get rad.
I love a good rainy day, and we don't get enough. What do you think? It rains about once every 3 months here. About 4 or 5 times a year we get rain.
Well, now Now that it's quote unquote winter,
yeah,
it'll be cold. Now it's mudslide season. It's either fire season or mudslide season.
Yeah, when I was working landscaping, I used to always love a good rainy day because you didn't have to go in. And there's nothing better than, like, I'd have to get up at, like, 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, for doing landscaping?
Yeah. And there's nothing better than getting up at 5:30 and just hearing that downpour, and you're like, yeah. Then you text the boss, hey, do you need me today? And he's like, nah, stay home. I'm like, yeah. It's like, because you don't feel lazy about it, too. You're like, well, I tried to go to work.
No, God gave me a day off.
Yeah, I tried.
But then everything's going to grow twice as much afterwards.
Yep.
You're gonna get got.
That's how they get you.
You'll get got. I'm going to read this thing I just clicked on that says, the effects of being a vegetarian, because you know I'm a vegetarian right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens to your body when you give up meat. For right now. Maybe next week I won't be.
You've been, how long has it been since you've had meat?
Since August.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
that I've knowingly had some.
So
I think it was beef gravy at Thanksgiving. So I was like, this gravy's delicious. I'm putting it on everything. Inflammation decreases. So that's good.
I don't really know what that means. What's inflamed?
You know when you got sore joints and shit?
Uh-huh.
That's inflammation.
Okay.
Sometimes it means just like your organs and stuff. I'm not sure either. You know what? I didn't even read this.
I'm inflamed.
Yeah. We know where the joke we're about to make here.
Dick.
This isn't fun.
What's not fun?
Just what I was reading.
Oh. Well, how do you feel? Can you tell a difference?
I definitely know when I've been eating a bunch of bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm still eating crap, though.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I didn't quit drinking, but I realized, like, I've been pumping the brakes.
I have too.
Yeah. Like, I got back Saturday and I didn't drink Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, I had like a couple wines last night. But a couple wines, that's just good for you.
I can't remember the last time I had wine. I got no problem with wine. It's just never on my radar.
You know what? You live in a home now. Wine's good. You're not a wino. You'd be a wino if you lived on the streets.
That's true.
But at home, you're sophisticated. It's funny. For one drink to like change perception based on where you drink it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You
sip on some red wine at home.
I do like a little red wine.
Slow, sleepy buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Slow, sleepy buzz. Kind of like getting stoned.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. I like that. I'll have to try some wine, Kyle.
I want you to be a wine guy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll ever be a wine guy, but
well, no, I'm not a wine guy. They're like, "What kind of wine do you want?" I'm like, "Red kind." Which colors wines you got?
I used to have that in a joke. I don't know anything about wine. I know clear and purple.
Well, there's rosé now, which is pink.
Oh yeah.
Which I thought that was just mixing the two, but yeah, fuck, whatever. I know. What do we do? This is a Q&A episode, and we're really not delivering. They deserve better than this.
Got to ease into it.
We're easing.
We're both dragging ass.
What don't we ease into? What if we attacked head on, Dave?
We attack some bourbon head on. Not today, but I don't know. I'm due for tying one on. We may have to do that next week for Christmas.
I had about five or six. Well, we're gonna have a very special episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to
that.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're gonna have the Boogie Monster Christmas party at the old 97s concert out in Pioneer Town.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see us out there, say hi. And we got us a room at the old Blackout Shack right behind there.
Yeah,
the old Pioneer Town.
I like that spot.
One queen bed, Dave.
Okay.
Me and you cuddling under a serape.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So if you hear two dudes snore battling the Pioneer Inn Motel.
Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Oh, classic holiday
film. Oh, man. Man, we should we just go full bore out there and just do some mushrooms and then record? How bad would that be? How bad would a podcast on mushrooms be?
To be old enough to know what drugs are going to do what.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to sit here and do that.
Yeah, no.
I got to wander. I'm in the desert and I'm going to have to sit down in front of inside? No way. No way. I got to be out amongst the cacti.
Yeah.
That's how I live.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be.
I'm going to a show tonight. I'm going to see Wheeler Walker Jr. Are you a fan of Wheeler
that
Walker Jr.?
That guy does not break character.
No, he commits to it. He commits. If you don't know Wheeler Walker Jr., he is Ben Hoffman is his real name.
And, yeah, he used to have the Ben Show.
Yeah, that show was funny.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah, that was a very funny show. But Katie's coming with me tonight, and she doesn't know anything about...
Oh, you're going to take a lady to Wheeler Walker Jr.?
And I was giving her a little sample today, and I don't think she was impressed. I don't think she enjoyed...
Yeah, I don't think ladies get it.
I don't think she appreciated some of the hits such as Can't Fuck You Off My Mind, or Fuck You, Bitch, Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
there's the crowd favorite, fighting, fucking, and farting. Can't even say that with a straight face.
This isn't going to go well.
Fighting, fucking, and farting. Better off beating off. Sit on my face. That's a good one. And yeah, man, there's a lot of. Hope he plays the hits.
And you've tried to, you've attempted to let her know what was up.
Yeah, yeah, and
to clue her in.
Yeah, she's not. We're going. She's going. Our buddy Rory Scovel is opening, so she's like, "I'm just going to see Rory," and I'm like, "Well, all right." You stick
the whole show full of people with exaggerated Southern accents.
Yeah. What is this? It just the whole time. This is it. Just up there talking about his dick. Oh man, but yeah, looking forward to that tonight. So. Just a night of debauchery.
I like it.
Yeah, let's play a sample here. This is Eating Pussy and Kicking Ass.
Well, you're going to play a lot of that song before they get to the punchline. It's breakfast time. Well,
hell yeah, dude. Eating pussy and kicking ass. That's what I do.
That's, you got that? That's part of your relationship now. You're gonna have to deal. Gonna have to deal with that.
Oh, man. So, what's going on with you, buddy? You having dog trouble? You having plumbing issues?
I don't. My neighbors do.
Having a rough day.
I have thin walls, so their issues are my issues.
Yeah.
I think we should cue these A's, man.
Yeah, you want to
cue these Q's?
Cue the A.
I'm looking. When?
Quentin Scott asked, why are you guys recording at 10 p.m.? We're not, Quentin. That's just when I sent out the thing. So that's how that works. A little peek behind the curtain there, Quentin. And plus, like 10 p.m., like what if we were recording at 10 p.m.? That's not that crazy.
We're podcasting bad boys, all right?
Yeah.
We don't follow no rules.
Yeah, what time you go to bed, Quentin?
We ain't in no studio.
Go to bed at 8:30?
Why don't you worry about what time you're listening to it?
Yeah.
Not about what time we're recording it.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck you, Quentin.
Well, I was going to throw a little sass at him, but I didn't go that hard into it.
JK, Quentin.
Hard in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Allen, I don't particularly like mole. I'll take a hike.
We're just going to be every question. Fuck this guy. Fuck him. That's stupid. You suck.
He says, what else can I make with a bottle of chocolate chipotle hot sauce?
Ooh, throw that in some chili, dude. I put dark chocolate in my chili. Get that deep, deep flavor. You could throw that in some chili. Throw it in some stew. I like a mole, though, man. I get that.
I know it's a weird flavor.
I get that it's weird for some
folks. I implore you to come around on it.
Yeah. Curtis Everett's, Dave, when are you going to record a new album? Hopefully in a month or two. Hopefully very soon.
When are you going to sell your old album?
What do you mean sell it?
Hasn't it still been sequestered by your management or something?
No, that's that documentary.
Oh,
no,
I thought you had your old album.
Well, yeah, I did an old album, and I released it, and, you know, I sold it. But
oh, I thought you had copies of it sitting somewhere. Wasn't that you?
No.
They're sitting at a manager's office. Like, I was like, why don't you take your merch on the road? Like, oh.
No. My manager, who didn't really do much for me. I had talked about it for months. I recorded the album. It came out a few months later, and mailed her a copy. And then at one meeting, she's like, "So when's your album coming out?" I'm like, all right, that's great. You're my manager, and you don't even fucking know that it came out 3 months ago.
Yeah,
you're doing a good job.
That I thought somebody else like had like. I'm like, why aren't you selling merch on the roads? Like, well, because I owe them like $500.
Oh, okay, that was me. Oh, yeah, okay. I owed the record company my. They gave me an initial stash, a grip of them. I sold them all, but I still owed them some
this
money.
Is like the scene from Boogie Nights.
And I didn't. I wasn't
we
gonna
can't take the demos. We can't get the record deal.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna ask them for a new batch when I still owed them money. So plus, nobody buys actual CDs anymore on this new album. I mean, I'm probably not even gonna. Press actual CDs. I'll just do that.
I don't know. I saw Theo Vaughn would sell like a, it looked like a backstage pass and a lanyard, and that would have the download code. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, that's like a fun
The download
memento
code.
From the show, and then mm-hmm. you still get the album, but it's like basically, yeah, how can you get people to download it?
Yeah.
How can you sell something after your show and people download it?
But even that was 2 or 3 years ago when I put out that last album, but like, mm-hmm. I sold some, but like towards the end, it was just like people were like, oh, I love you and I'd love to have the album, but I don't even have a CD player.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why vinyl people like, I've spoken my piece about vinyl. People love to show that in their homes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, look at my personality. But then people buy that because it's more of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a download code in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, hopefully this spring. I just got to figure out where I want to do it. I don't know. But yeah, I got this hour's ready to go, and I'm tired of doing it, so I need to go ahead and
yeah, I'm sick of all these jokes, man.
Get it out there. Yeah.
That's what Christmas time's for, not telling any jokes.
Yeah.
Just living life and collecting experience. Victor Varenkov was asking about vampires. That's a vampire name. Victor with a K?
Yeah.
Victor Varenkov. Scariest or best portrayal of a vampire in cinema, TV, etc.
Ooh.
Scariest vampire.
I liked that movie Dracula. Who was it? Gary Oldman playing Dracula? The one that came out in the 90s?
Is that with Tom Cruise?
No, that's Interview. Just the way you said that. Is that with Tom Cruise?
Was that the one? Brad Pitt?
Interview with a Vampire. That was this one was just called Dracula, and I think it was Gary Oldman.
I wish Interview with a Vampire was just like, what's your previous experience? Well, for 900 years, I've been sucking all of this blood.
Okay. He's got a resume.
Good. I see a gap in your employment. I was going to go, I went to Europe to travel for a month after college. Also, I'm German now.
Do you have any special skills that relative to this
the
position?
Blood. I drink the blood.
Well, see, you know, in today's workplace, we're not going to be drinking a lot of blood.
I can become a bat. Do you have any need for a bat?
Well, I don't know. That's not really what we
then
do.
Then I can
here.
Become my person again.
Okay. Well, that's.
I only work nights.
Okay. Man, that would be such a good sketch. Oh, good one. Good one. But yeah, I'm trying to. What are the movies?
I'm tickled by that premise.
That is funny.
What was Let the Right One In? Did you see that one?
Ooh, I did see that.
I did not know that was a vampire rule until that movie came out.
What rule?
About you, they have to be invited in.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Fuck, you turn into a damn bat. Do you have to invite a bat in?
Yeah.
Does the bat still have to just like hover in front of your door, like just ask me to come in?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was a good one because it was like little kids that could be evil, but also it was like friends with a little kid. So I had more rain coming down.
Oh man,
it was just sunny. God, weather is crazy. Like, what's all these sounds? Oh, it's the rain. It's rain hitting the apartment. It's coming down.
Man, the cats have been freaking out.
Yeah?
Because they never, you know, they don't get a lot of rain. They don't know what's going on. And mm-hmm. they don't remember the last time it rained, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So they've just been running around the apartment just freaking the fuck out. What the hell's going on, Dave?
A lot of new sounds hitting the mm-hmm. roof. I thought Let the Right One In was a good one. I thought, not scariest, but I did enjoy... What We Do in Shadows.
That was
one
haven't
of
the seen
more
that yet.
Comedic.
I heard it was good.
Version is silly. Who else was scaring me as a vampire? Let the Right One In is the one that comes to mind right now. Mm-hmm. That original Nosferatu motherfucker was a real goblin-looking son
I never saw it, but I
but
know.
But everybody seen like the steels and everything. Like that guy.
Very creepy.
Yeah, yeah, that guy looked rough.
Mm-hmm.
I say Let the Right One In. Vampires never. I never gravitated towards vampires.
Me neither.
That seemed.
I appreciated them, but it wasn't really my thing.
No, but it was definitely more of like a gothy teen girl type scary bit.
Yeah,
you know.
I did see all those.
Twilights.
I saw all those because of an ex girlfriend.
Really?
She made me sit through all three of them. Was it three of them? Four of them?
You're asking the wrong dude.
And just.
When did this come out? Mid 90s?
No, that was.
Mid aughts?
Mid aughts, yeah. Yeah.
Were they any?
It was okay. Yeah. It wasn't like frightening. It was more.
But like, there could be a movie where, like, you know, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was compelled.
Yeah, they were okay. But.
Were they sexy?
Yeah, everybody was sexy. Oh, yeah, the same girlfriend was a big. Who's the lady that wrote Interview with the Vampire? Is that Anne Rice? She was a big Anne Rice fan, and I actually read one of those books. I think The Vampire Lestat. It was in that universe. I don't know if there was a trilogy or four or five, but there was a whole series that was kind of based around the story of Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. There was one where like the vampire was like a rock star. Like in modern days, he was a rock star.
Oh yeah, they always got.
But it wasn't bad.
What's Spike from? I'm looking up famous. Vampires. Oh, he's from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know people love that show. I never saw that one. The Count. Everybody forgets The Count.
I don't know that one.
The Count. Count Von Count from Sesame Street.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant a movie.
Did you not?
I do remember.
How long before you put it together before he was called The Count and that's why he counted?
Maybe just now.
One. Come on, that guy. I liked him. He was not scary, but man, I liked him.
Yeah. I like Sesame Street, man.
Well, I liked them all, but it, like of all the inexplicable creatures, by the way, there's a vampire that's going to teach you math.
Yeah. Big Bird used to creep me the fuck out. Just too big and just androgynous. Like, I didn't know. Is that I was supposed to be a dude bird or a lady bird? Or
I mean, they're birds.
Just fucking.
How am I supposed to fuck this thing?
I gotta know.
Do I suck it or do I jam it in? Snuffleupagus. I don't even know. I'm gonna let it come to me.
You
know?
Oscar was pretty cool.
It was a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed some Sesame Street.
They did a good job. Good service for the kids. I have not watched that The Neighbor. Won't You Be My Neighbor? I heard it's.
Oh yeah.
I heard it's heartbreaking.
Oh really?
Not heartbreaking, but so uplifting. Like you're just gonna cry out.
There's also a movie with Melissa McCarthy, and I know these aren't necessarily Muppets, but where she's in a world of puppets, but it's kind of like R-rated puppets.
Yeah, they're like dirty puppets.
What's the name of that movie? I don't know. But
that came and went real quick.
I'd like to see that. Anthony H. asks, who's your favorite fictional band / musician? Well, that's ironic. I was just talking about Wheeler Walker. But
fictional bands?
Yeah, fictional bands. Like he's Lone Rangers. Who are the Lone Ranger? That was
from
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and
what was the name of that movie? Airheads.
Airheads.
And I like when they're describing their sound. He's like, "I'm probably a power slop. It's more of a power slop."
I never gave that movie a lot of credit.
Wasn't bad. Wild Stallions. That was
Wild Stallions. I'm going to say Eddie and the Cruisers.
Okay. He suggests one that would probably be my answer: Soggy Bottom Boys. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Soggy Bottom Boys.
I think the band within the band of within that thing you do when they're Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
I never saw that movie.
They got a role on a major motion picture. They were the band, this beach band called Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. I enjoyed that one.
That's pretty good.
Favorite fictional musician?
Oh, he says his is Sexual Chocolate, which is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. What was his name? Randy Waters or from Coming to America?
Oh, no.
God damn, that was so funny.
That boy good.
They passed the the church collection bucket around. The guy puts his chicken bone in there. Hell, I thought it was trash.
Randy
Watson, sexual chocolate.
Leave children our future. Him now and let him eat away.
That movie is so damn funny. So fucking funny, that movie.
Yeah. Rocky Marciano, right? Everybody, anytime white boys talk about Rocky.
He beat Joe Louis's ass.
Yeah, he did beat his ass.
That deserves a rewatch. Let's see. We got Drew Brown. What kept you guys going during the soulless open mic grind phase of your comedy careers? I've thought about that.
It's a good question.
Going back, like, how did I keep? It's miserable. There's no doubt that it's miserable.
See, I didn't have that experience. Here's how, and someone's asked me this recently. Here's how I looked at it. It was like, take anything that you're new at, that you're not good at, but you really like it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like how you yeah, feel yeah. about, you know, mountain biking stuff. You've admitted that you're not great.
Whatever your hobby is. Yeah.
Because, and I, like, from day one, I wasn't good, but mm-hmm. I knew, and it wasn't ego or bravado or anything, but I knew that I could be good. I knew that, like, all right, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, but mm-hmm. I knew that deep down I had a little bit of talent. And so the excitement of, like, the progression, like, ooh, I'm, you know, every time you write a newer joke or every yeah. time you have a better set, like, so during those years, just the excitement of, like, oh, I'm slowly getting mm-hmm. better at this. Like, that was enough to make me kind of ignore the shitty open mics yeah. and the shitty shows and all that. But,
and also, I like the whole world of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I drove in for the 4 years I lived in Chicago. I'd drive to the city to do the shows. Mm-hmm. And I liked seeing everybody's progression.
Yeah.
Not just mine.
Yeah.
You know, plus having to drive 45 minutes to do an open mic, you're like, oh, there's some stake here.
So yeah.
Like,
I just better make it count.
Yeah.
I was the same way.
And I didn't always. Yeah. I was still get too drunk or whatever. But I still like seeing everybody like, oh, I like the way you change that joke. That's mm-hmm. fun. Oh, I like the way, look at this. Okay, somebody's brand new. Let's see how they do. Let's, you know, I like the world of it.
Yeah.
It's a bleak world, mm-hmm. but I still liked viewing all of it. And it, yeah, it gets a little boring week after week, but that's how it's like, all right, how am I going to make it not boring? Write mm-hmm. a new joke, even though you know it's like, that's what I couldn't understand is that people did the same jokes at open mics.
At open mics.
I mean, you had the open mics, which became real shows in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of want to do good. There's a lot of people here. And then I do have a show this weekend that if I do good here, I could be like, yeah, you come see me on Saturday. Yeah. A real show. But otherwise, like, yeah, what? It's, I mean, I've made the metaphor over and over again, but yeah, it's the puzzle that's never finished.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, good, that joke's finished. Wow, write a new one that's as good, if not better than that
yeah.
one. And it's like, all right, well, this is what I'm going to do. Same mm-hmm. thing. Any hobby, what do you do now that, you know, that you're like, I mean, I've been playing video games or whatever. It's like, oh, this is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You could either quit because it's a pointless challenge that you don't need, or you're like, bah, I got nothing else. I'm going to, you know, surmount this challenge.
Yeah, I think it's just all perspective. Plus, I think I kind
of love it, man. You got to love it. If you don't love it, you will not last.
Well, you started in Chicago. I started in Atlanta. Both pretty big scenes at the time, probably even bigger now. But, like, I can't imagine – I would imagine it's probably a lot more difficult if you started in a really small scene where maybe you didn't have a big peer group that you could watch progress, or you didn't have these series of goals like, oh, you know, if I get a little better, maybe I can start hosting at the comedy club or whatever. So we had all of those little tiers. And I remember, like, the first time I got to host at an actual comedy club, I've only been doing it like 6 months, but that was a goal that I had set pretty early, like, because there was obviously a difference from, like, the shitty open mic where 11 people would show up, and then I'd go and watch the comedy club shows where, like, you know, oh, a big headliner's here and he sold out. There's 300 people. And I've been doing my first one, my first hosting gig was at the Funny Farm, and I hosted for Greg Giraldo.
Yeah.
And that was like, I've been doing it like 6 months, but that was like a major milestone of like, holy shit, this place is packed.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid. You know,
people
I get
laughing at my jokes. People that don't know who I am.
Yeah, yeah. So just that transition from like, oh, this is so much different than an open mic. This it felt like show business. You know, which was my first experience at that. So just setting little goals like that, and just loving it. Just knowing that okay, I know I'm not very good, but I think I could be.
Or if I would do bad, I'd be like, oh, I gotta get back. I gotta wash this off.
Yeah.
Instead of like, well, I did bad, so I'll quit now. And I get lucky for Grown Up by Cities where something was going on. I've had people email me and it's like, well, what do you do if I'm in the middle of nowhere? Like, start an open mic, go to music open mic. I mean, it's a silly thing to move for comedy, especially if you're not like, I mean, I think it's a silly thing if you're in a town, like, I'm just going to go to LA, like, go to the next major city.
Yeah, go somewhere in between.
Yeah, if you're in the Midwest, go to Minneapolis, go to Chicago, go to Denver, go to St. Louis,
go
to Nashville.
I feel like you just said it's silly to move, but I feel like
move an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
Just for your life, if you're a young person. Just go move to a city for a little while.
Yeah, you've got to move to a decent-sized scene. Like, we travel and I meet local comics all over, and sometimes I'll be in some really small market, and I'm like, "So what's the scene like here? How many times a week can you get up?" They're like, "Well, we got one monthly open mic, and then every other Tuesday we drive 4 hours to Cincinnati." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Ah, you need to just go ahead and move.
Repetition.
You move somewhere
that's
where you can
only
get up.
Where you're gonna get better. Yeah, repetition.
You got to get up." You got to get up every night. I think I've made this analogy before, but it's like being a bodybuilder. Those bodybuilders don't get that physique by working out once a month or twice a month. It's every day.
Feel like it.
Yeah. Like you got to do, it's got to be a lifestyle. You got to do it all the fucking time. And you got, like you said, you got to love it because it's too much rejection and bullshit to put up with if you don't love it. You know, I've met comics who don't, you can clearly tell that they don't like it. And I'm like, then what are you doing? Why are you here? You think you're going to win the lottery?
Filling in the time before the other job just takes over.
I guess.
Before they have kids.
Oh, man. What else we got? Ian Bowers, if you came back as a ghost and were bound to haunt a single establishment for the rest of eternity, where would you choose? That's a good question. If you could pick where you...
Would you have the same sensibilities as a person, though? Like, if you wanted to, like, oh, I would haunt this music venue that plays bands that I like, but then you're just like, I don't want to hear music tonight.
I'd probably haunt a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, but what if you could only smell it?
Yeah.
You never see ghosts eating.
That would be funny if just a dumb, fat ghost...
Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Got barbecue sauce all over his beard.
Yeah, that's how they know. He's
like, boo. Leave me alone.
I'm full. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do a church.
Exorcism. I'm just eight. I can't be exercised.
I got to let it digest.
Get out of here. I barf.
Yeah, I don't know. Like a cool music venue or cool bar or restaurant. I don't know. Ballpark,
Ooh, ballpark.
Hang out at Wrigley Field.
Look at a nice wood. It's nature,
Yeah.
Right? If you're a ghost. Yeah, well, you never know what the parameters are on a ghost. How far can you go?
Man, that'd be interesting. A ghost at a ballpark who, like, somehow can affect the performance of the game. Like,
well, I mean, like, they all believe in curses.
Who trips an outfielder as he's going to catch the ball.
Isn't that angels in the outfield?
I never saw that. I know what you're talking about.
I just know it's called Angels in the Outfield.
That would be funny, though, to like, what the fuck? That was clearly a foul ball.
I think outdoors. I don't know. I think I would cherish being alone and then occasionally seeing one. Like, I don't think I would want to haunt people.
Yeah.
You know, camping's already scary.
Yeah.
Now you're camping without being worried about bears. Maybe you can run into Bigfoot. Maybe Bigfoot can't see ghosts.
Ooh, yeah.
But then you're stuck with knowing you saw Bigfoot, but you're a ghost, and you're a ghost saying, I saw Bigfoot. Like, you're not going to believe what I saw as a ghost. Like, no, forget that part. I saw Bigfoot. Guys, we saw a ghost. You're missing the whole part of the story that I need you to tell people. Joel Micah Harris says, do either of you have any superstitions?
Ooh. Whew. That's a good one. I had them when I played sports. I think all athletes, not all, but a lot of athletes are superstitious because sports is, regardless of skill, sports is still such a game of chance.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, so I did something good. So what did I, what exactly did I do leading up to that?
Oh, we talked about that.
Let me do that again.
Yeah, that Malcolm in the Middle episode where he's bowling. Did I tell you about that?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
It was the best example of like OCD superstition that because he's like at a bowling alley. It's Bryan Cranston's character.
Yeah.
And he gets a strike and he's like, oh, wow. And he realizes he got the strike, but his fly was down. And he, so he goes to zip it up. He's like, nah, hold on. And then he bowls again. He gets another strike. So he leaves it. And throughout the course of the episode, like, this is just the B story. Like, the main story is happening with the kids in the bowling. But it goes back to him later on. He's, like, in the eighth frame. He's got no pants on. There's a crowd around. He's got to, like, take two sips of a drink, pat some guy's head, scratch both ass cheeks. Like, all the things that he did leading up to it to get this perfect game. Like, I know this mentality very well.
Yeah.
That was, as a little kid, I was super OCD and superstitious. Uh-huh. Like, the step on a crack, break your mother's back thing went on to... And Sean Patton has a great joke about, like, then if I don't touch my asshole three times, a president will die. I ask you this, since I've been born, has a president been assassinated? Nope, that's thanks to this finger and my butthole and three times a day. That's what it's that's what you can thank for that.
Oh, that's good.
But I, like, I got obsessed with even numbers.
Really?
Everything had to be even numbers. Stairs I had to take, I had to step every other step. I had to walk sidewalks, like were the blocks, sidewalk blocks. I had to do two steps or four steps at each one.
I never really even thought of this, but I do a thing. Speaking of even numbers,
I knock on wood now, which I will knock on wood just because we're talking about knocking on wood.
I don't even really, there's not a whole lot of meaning behind this other than maybe a small touch of OCD. But when I go to pay my bill at a restaurant and then I tip, let's say the bill's $16.43,
yeah,
and I was gonna tip $4 anyway.
Yeah,
I won't write. I won't tip four even to make it $20.43. I'll tip, you know, $3.57 to make the total $20 even.
And to cheat them out of
Well, that was a bad example. I could have done one where I rounded up. You know,
I don't know if it's OCD, but I really like if I was to gonna, skimp out if I was on gonna that tip, gratuity.
If I was going
to
tip $3, I you know, on $16.43.
You want the total to be even.
Yeah, I always figured out to where. Yeah, and I know they're looking at it like, you tipped me $4.16.
I realize like that's my mom always likes to see. It's easier like when she was doing a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
It was from there like seeing that balanced out.
Yeah.
And it's nicer than dealing with all the change and everything.
And it doesn't really make sense because unless I did that with every single purchase, like my account balance isn't going to be an even, you know, with 0 cents. Yeah. But still, just for me, it's just – it feels better to just – lunch cost me $20 today instead of $19.71.
Yeah. It's nice and it's clean.
Yeah.
It's got a cleanliness to it.
So I do that.
Yeah, I don't think I've got any kind of anything past that. I mean, I used to be a real weird, twitchy, Tourette's-y kind of kid. I would like
really?
Like, I would, like, now I get into throat clearing, as was made aware on the podcast. But that's, I've got like GERD or some shit. But then as soon as I start thinking about it, like, oh, there's a thing in my throat. Then I get obsessed with trying to clear my throat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I chewed all my nails off. I would make this kind of like noises, like, like I always like these weird grunts,
huh?
And I don't know if that's, I don't know what that was. And kids got all kinds of shit,
yeah,
wrong with them, you know.
It's true. Your
brains are just trying, like, nobody's brain is like, wow, this is how this works right out of the factory,
yeah.
It's not, you know, you still got to program the VCR when you get it home. That's the human brain can't just be like, yep, you're fine. Here's a whole world of weird shit going on. And just make sense of it. That's not, there's no way. That's what I was trying to make, like, being a psychologist or a therapist is great. Because that's like being in a world, that's like being a mechanic in a world where everybody built their own cars. but nobody knows how to make a car. Like, this is wrong. Like, of course it is. You don't know how to make a car.
Yeah.
You have to have a car, but now you're come to me. And I'm like, my brain isn't right. Of course it isn't. Nobody explained to you that just because you're doing things with odd numbers or even numbers, the outcome will have some butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But you got that in your head, and it's all tweaked out. So you go to them to get it tuned up.
Yeah.
So that, you know, maybe it's a bad analogy.
No.
A lot of people go like, I didn't put this together the right way. Don't worry. None of us have. None of us have it put together the right way.
I don't know how people could be therapists and psychiatrists, like, just sitting and listening to people's problems all day. Like, to me, that's very exhaustive. Like, even my close friends or whomever, like, I want to be there and I want to listen. But, like, you know, if you were going through some shit and we sat down for 20 minutes and I really listened and lended an ear, and then I had to do another 10 minutes at home because Katie, like, you know, just two friends, cumulatively 30 minutes, that would just mentally exhaust the shit out of me. But to think about having to do that 8 hours a day to people you really don't even fucking care about.
Well, yeah, you know,
I mean, I know it's your job.
Well, and again, it's like the comedy thing where it's like you have to have an interest in it. You have to love it.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought if I go to therapy, like the stuff I'd be going to therapy about, the therapist would just be like, fucking really?
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass.
And I'm like, sure they do feel that way. I'm sure they got crazy stories.
You
of
know,
like,
what am I really clogging up the schedule for?
Yeah. I've never been to therapy.
Especially L.A. Like, I've been a couple times.
Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to it. I don't.
I'm not either, but I still got that kind of like, I don't need it. I'll figure it out, which is somewhat of a macho thing. But also, I think there is a little bit of like a, nah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be a balance. Like, you know, you can't be so thick-headed that, like, I don't need nobody's help. But at the same time, do I need to talk to somebody about my anxiety when I go to a restaurant? Like, fucking rub some dirt on it and fucking walk it off.
See, I'm agreeing with you, even though I think we're probably both in the wrong. But
yeah.
A lot of, like, just, yeah. Fucking put a Band-Aid on your dick and get on with your day.
I think that's a little bit of that is good. A little like self-sufficient, like, no, I got it. Well, I can figure this out.
And that's where somebody, I'm sure somebody would disagree. Like, you know, why would you want to callous yourself and harden yourself? It's like, because calluses protect you from future damage.
Because life's hard. And if you let every little thing in your life be a huge event and bother you, you'll never get anything done. You'll never be happy.
That's why I can't imagine like a therapist in L.A.
Yeah.
Being like, I just have anxiety. If I don't know if I'm supposed to be an actor or not. Here's something. Nobody's supposed to be an actor.
Yeah.
That's all. I had a set last night. There wasn't anybody there, but I had a real fun set. And I was kind of
where was it at?
That lyric.
Oh, right, right.
And I just dumped out about stuff. And I was like, I don't know why I live in this town anymore. Like, I got it. My dreams came true. Mm-hmm. I get to be a comedian. That's awesome. This town is silly about everything else. Like, auditions. Like, you're Jacob right now. Sure, I'm Jacob. Like, but how everybody else, like, how everybody's like fucking yuppies now and everybody's a dog. Like, I don't think I like any of my friends anymore just because they're all adults and I don't know what happened. Where it's like, you want to come hang out with my kids and bitch about Trump? Fucking no. Get fucking bent. Like, everybody's an adult that way. Everybody's talking about about the political this and that. By the way, tomorrow I have to pretend to be Jacob, and hopefully I get a job pretending to be Jacob. Like, it's a stupid, stupid city.
Yeah.
Filled with stupid, stupid business. And I can only imagine the amount of therapists, like the amount of eye rolling that must go on. Like,
yeah.
Oh, fucking, let me pat your little bottom. Things are going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I'm not in the right year.
No, we're wrong. We're wrong.
Yeah.
But these are our opinions.
But just everybody's so far up their own ass. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now let's explore that. You know, I know you can't always measure shit like this, but like, I just think, like, did my grandfather, you know, who was fucking plowing a field just to feed his family, you think he gave a fuck about his anxiety around show and show? And you just fucking move on. Like, work big to small, not small to big.
Yeah, but I'm also not going to look and be like, these are stellar examples of compassionate human beings.
Of course, of course. No, I get that. I get that. I'm just saying, and again, I know I'm wrong in this, but I'm a big proponent of you work big to small. Like, let's work on the big shit. And then if ever the time comes when I'm sitting in somebody's office paying them $120 an hour to talk about something very minuscule, then I guess I'm doing pretty good. If this is my biggest fucking problem and I got to hire somebody to talk about it, like, I don't know.
Dave Davidson asks, Wendy's baked potato, your thoughts? Trying to change, switch gears a little.
Been a while since I've had a Wendy's baked potato. A baked potato is a baked potato, in my opinion.
I never want one until it's in front of me and there's butter and all the toppings. Yeah. I'm like, boy, I love a baked potato.
Yeah.
But I'm never like, you know what I can go for? A baked potato right now.
Yeah, like if I'm at a steakhouse and that's a side, like, yeah, give me a load of baked potato and I'll get in there. But yeah. I never think to order one at Wendy's. Just never even dawns on me. But,
potato skins?
I like a good potato skin.
I like potato skins.
Yeah. And when I eat a baked potato, by the way, I eat the whole fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just eat it like an apple.
The foil and everything.
But no, I'll eat the skin. Like, there's nothing left. Like, when it's go time to eat a baked potato, I don't fucking half-ass it. I get in there.
You're like a
lot of butter.
You're like a Navajo.
A lot of sour cream.
Use the whole potato.
And if I'm too full to finish it, I take the skin home and make shoes out of it.
Baked potato moccasins.
Speaking of Wendy's, though, still the best burger, best mainstream burger in the game right now, that Dave's Double.
Best fast food burger?
Mm-hmm, yeah, fast food. Other than like, I'm coming around on In-N-Out. I used to not be impressed with In-N-Out, but I'm coming around.
I think the hype kind of buried him.
But like Wendy, just solid, just consistent. Get that Dave's Classic Double with everything, man.
I miss the Big Bacon Classic.
Yeah.
That's what they
now they got the Baconator.
It's too much.
Too much bacon.
Too much sodium.
Too much bacon.
It's the roof of your mouth. It's like you got a fucking Rusty Jones your mouth before you bite it.
Yeah, on paper, bacon always is a good idea. But
72 Chevy quarter panel after winter.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
For that reference, wasn't worth it.
No, I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm not mad when bacon's on the burger, but like it's not as big a necessity as people like. Oh,
I think we're out of that era where everybody had to butt fuck things with bacon.
Yeah,
but bacon's the best.
Here's something to think about with breakfast, man. Sausage. I'll take some sausage over some bacon any day.
You want sausage on a burger?
I like. Ooh, didn't even think of that.
Sausage patty?
Sausage
patty.
That's
just an Egg McMuffin. I mean, you could just, shuffle a couple sandwiches together cartoon style.
Yeah.
Like a Vegas dealer. Take yourself an Egg McMuffin and a Big Mac and just
have
a hell of a sandwich.
Yeah, that's
fried egg on a burger?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Bet your ass.
Yeah, more is not always better on a burger. Like, fucking, no. You don't got to put a chicken finger on my goddamn hamburger. Let's all relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a burger is great in and of itself if all the components are up to par.
I love a breakfast burger. You know? They do like cheddar cheese, bacon, and a fried egg.
Yeah, yeah, I got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But like some of these fucking just Frankenstein burgers, like just take it easy.
I haven't been in a long time, but I remember being good. Red Robin.
I have never been to Red Robin.
You guys should go to a Red Robin. Is it good? I remember being like thinking it's like, it's one of these restaurants, burger places.
It's always in the mall. Yeah.
They got a lot of types of burgers.
Uh-huh.
And I remember being like, these are good, like, not like, oh, we're going to fucking burn your house down family style, fucking everything. It's like, no, here's a tasteful idea. You get your bacon, blue cheese, your Swiss and mushroom, then a couple other little concoctions that were like, all right, you know, not bad.
One more thing on burgers, and I'll say this. I never thought I would be bragging on McDonald's. I will say they have changed, and they made it known. They changed their quarter pounder with cheese. They've improved the beef. They've made some adjustments. Pretty good. The McDonald's just quarter pounder with cheese, it's a lot better than it was a year ago.
I'm not gonna like fast food is what it is. Like I'm not going there like, oh, this will not get a Michelin star for me.
Yeah,
two cheeseburgers from McDonald's or a double cheeseburger.
A double cheeseburger.
About that quarter pounder though, it was too much meat for the quality of meat that it was.
The quality's gotten better now? Yes.
Okay.
The
quality. All right.
It's gotten a lot better. And it's not a Wendy's double, but it's solid. It was solid. For McDonald's.
For like when it's low quality, I could take it in like certain amounts. And that was too much low quality meat altogether.
I agree.
Just looking at it.
You know that thing that's not very good? You want triple the amount?
Yeah.
No, man. I don't.
Oh, yeah. When there's like too much ground beef in a Taco Bell burrito.
Yeah.
It's just all.
Yeah. No.
Muck.
And fuck Jack in the Box, by the way. Just that's the Jack in the Box is the burger when I'm eating it, it's the one that's the most noticeable of like, oh, this is garbage.
If I see somebody this is feeding garbage. Their child Jack in the Box in daytime hours, yeah. I'll call Child Family
It's
Services.
Garbage.
It's bad.
It's the quality of the beef is so bad. Drunk, like you can taste
drunk?
It.
Drunk, it does what it needs to do.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong.
It's open. And before I learned that Del Taco is 24.
Yeah. It kept me alive for a little while. Like two those
it keeps you alive now, but kills you in the long run.
Those two shitty tacos for a dollar when I was in the van.
Garbage. Yeah.
I mean, there were times where I'd eat that for lunch and dinner. Like, oh, I spent $3 on food today.
Oh, Dave.
Not anymore, buddy.
What else? What else?
Walking in high
White
cotton.
Castle has the Impossible Burger now.
Yeah.
Which I still refuse to try. White Castle's a rough choice.
No, I like it.
No, I like it too, like but in it. The way of like, this is terrible.
That and Crystal. A big fan, both.
You get diarrhea just looking at the bag.
I love it. Got that gray goop.
The Crave case.
That beef goop.
Steamed.
Love
Our
it.
Burgers are steamed. Don't tell anybody that. Sounds like you just held them in the shower with you for a while. So gross.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go in the sauna with some steak. You guys want any of this? Oh, Travis Walker's got a good one here. He says, Dear Kyle and Dave, what are your thoughts on the current popularity of DNA testing kits like 23andMe and such? I've heard close accounts from friends who have discovered estranged and missing loved ones. Some of the data has helped to catch Golden State serial killer and murderer DJ Freeze. That's a murderer? DJ Freeze?
Huh.
Kind of a good handle. But the flip side of the coin is that individuals are giving away their rights to their DNA. Yes. GlaxoSmithKline has recently purchased the rights to all of 23andMe's data for the next 4 years. They may use it to improve health care for all, but they could just as easily use it to plan research money. Only for conditions that are more prevalent in better insured populations. Ooh.
I guess I don't understand. Like, what do I care if somebody does something with my DNA data?
It's just giving up your information that then may let me read the rest of this. Also, the availability of a DNA database further shrinks the shadow of anonymity left in the world. For the conspiracy-minded out there, you know, so like now everything, it's like a very dystopian future of like, well, DNA, we'll find whoever did what. Which on the surface is like, yeah, crime, that's great. But then what are we deciding are crimes? You know, somebody, as much as I, you know, hate to say it, like free speech protects people who are saying the things you disagree with as well. And when we start treating that as crimes,
yeah,
or when maybe certain presidents like, oh, journalists. What journalist wrote this anonymous article criticizing the president? We'll find him, you know?
Yeah.
There's a possibility for great societal benefit and folly with this seemingly innocuous technology. What are your guys' thoughts? For what he's saying about they could improve health care for all, like, oh, good, we have all of the DNA for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what does it – but. Oh, here's wealthy people's problems. The DNA from wealthy people suffer from these things.
Okay.
So, therefore, they'll be able to pay for cures. So let's focus on just cures for those wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I get a pretty – I'm trying to reconcile for myself that I have pretty low hope for the human race.
Yeah.
Yet, I'm having a great time. I wish I was like ingesting more positive news about, and I know it's out there about groups of people are doing things that are good to help people and this and that, but more and more this just seems like the with Minority Report type shit, you know, thought police, and I was hearing murmurs about this, about them, like, people accessing all this and how, like, the DNA mapping was not going to be a great thing. about everybody knowing, you know, and then what about like with what China's doing with their social rating system?
What are they doing?
Oh, the Black Mirror type shit over there.
Where you get a, citizens get a rating like an Uber rating.
So now people can't get plane tickets because they don't have a certain sort of, what happens when they have access to DNA? Like, oh, you both have DNA that's not healthy. We're going to decide that you can't reproduce.
Yeah.
Whereas they were already making that decision.
Yeah,
in China.
It's kind of some eugenics stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's the question here. Is it starting to go, you know, when people now own the rights to that and can start steering societies in a certain direction, which I feel they will.
Yeah,
which I feel is what happens. You know, while we were talking about that movie the other day, the creepy line about how Facebook and Google can kind of dictate what people are seeing. You know. And those are major things. Like Facebook is – that's what people do every day. That's them walking into the living room is Facebook.
Yeah.
And then they're going to dictate which news stories get omitted or included or pushed further to the forefront than others. That's fucked up.
I know this is a slippery slope, but like sets a precedent. But going back to the government or whomever intervening and saying that you can't procreate. Mm-hmm. I could see some cases where that's not a bad idea.
Oh, no, I absolutely. There's plenty of people. I'm like, no, you don't get a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be a law.
But okay, but especially like – well, then you're going back to the China thing with like the number of kids. But like you got 8 kids from – 9 different fathers. I know that math doesn't add up, but that's a joke. Like, hey, you can't – we got to step in. You can't have a 9th one. I'm sorry.
No, my knee-jerk reaction is too many people on this earth. I got fucking – was I bitching about that? I read somebody's Twitter. Like, if you – I won't say who it is. But like, if you have the money – if you can afford an electric car – was I talking about that?
Yeah.
I was? All right.
You can revisit it.
If you could afford an electric car and you don't own one, then you're an asshole.
That's somebody like, I know that said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody I know. I'm like, yeah, man, you had a kid living below the poverty line. You didn't have gainful employment. Do you still eat red meat and you put a child in this world? Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep getting 11 miles to the gallon. But you still go to factory farming and you have put a kid that you couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here. Criticize my life.
Hmm.
You know, that's the, like, yeah, I there's too many people. I don't think. But again, it's not any more my right to tell somebody that they can't have an abortion than it is to tell them they can't have a kid.
Yeah. Are there any regulations on that? Like in terms of like mentally challenged people or whatever. Like I know there was like a movie, The Other Sister or whatever.
Something came out recently where people knew they were going to have...
If you know you're going to have a mentally challenged baby because both parties are already like...
Or just,
can the government
or just because
stop
that's
that?
Where it's leading to. Or yeah. Just because you could test the fetus and go like, oh yeah, this kid has this thing.
So like is there any... But I guess what I'm asking is there any cases or where
do you
somebody
want
has intervened
to be like the Nazis and kill your retard baby? That's what you're asking. Yes. All right.
No, I'm saying, is there any cases where someone has been, you know, prohibited from moving forth with
not prohibited, but like, here's the information. Yeah. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Just as it's a woman's choice to not have a kid if she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I can't be all pro-choice there. Because choice is choice. That also means like, well, you're having another kid.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's the problem. Like, you know, the Republican problem with people like, well, I don't want tax dollars going for abortions, and you don't want tax dollars going for programs for when people do have the kids. It's like, so you want to protect the right of the baby until it's born, which I mean, it's like a Carlin bit or something. But as soon as that kid's born, fuck you, you're on your own. Deal with it. Learn what hard work is. Pull yourself by your bootstraps. Yeah. Give it no advantage, even though you're like, but no, the mother should not have a choice.
Yeah.
It should be in the world. And now you don't have a choice. Yeah. Now you're fucking poverty stricken. But everybody gets the same chance. No, you don't. You're the seventh kid in a welfare family in a fucking shit school district.
Yeah.
That's not getting funding because nobody wants to throw the money that way.
Yeah.
So, no. I you want to have them kids, you get to have them. I don't agree with it, but it's not something I can say you can't do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
Good question.
Yeah.
Serious one, Travis.
Yeah, that was a good one, Travis.
Well worded, well thought out.
Lighten it up a little bit. Trixie Emerson asked Kyle and Dave if you were tasked with making a purposefully weird but delicious dish for a Christmas potluck, what would you make?
Purposefully now, weird but delicious.
Now, do you mean like a novelty thing or just something that's a little, you know, that doesn't show up very often? My go-to for like a potluck or a party, if you're wanting something that no one else is going to bring, boiled peanuts. Great snack. I love a good pot of boiled peanuts. Weird. Easy as shit to make. Bring a big old pot of boiled peanuts to your potluck. People will be high-fiving you. But like purposefully weird.
Could you make a gingerbread house out of cold cuts?
Yeah, I guess if you had some, if you attached them with toothpicks, you know, something to some sort of
or cheese
foundation. Now that'd probably be better because a hard cheese is going to stand up on its own more than a cold cut.
Or you could just carve the cheeses as a nativity scene.
Yeah. Although, okay, cheese and cold cuts. Not necessarily sliced cold cuts, but, you know, logs of pepperoni and kielbasas and, you know.
Well, that too, like, is the structure.
Yeah.
Like the four posts and then in between, like a log cabin is like cheese sticks.
Yeah, dude, I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
Cured meat and cheese gingerbread house.
Or a nativity scene made out of meats and cheeses.
And then the snow or something around the yard could be dips. Soft cheeses and dips.
Or your spreadables.
Yeah. Crackers as the shingles. Pull you off a cracker, scrape it through the yard.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. I'm going to look up gingerbread house, but cheese.
Yeah, try that, Trixie.
Gingerbread house, but with cheese. Pass the cheese and crackers house. Savory gingerbread house. It exists. Oh, it's beautiful. Look at this thing.
That is beautiful.
Look at, they got Brussels sprouts for the bushes. A little sprig of rosemary for a tree out in front.
Crackers for the windows.
The chimney's a little rolled ham. A little prosciutto. Fuck. All right. Well, it's nice to know that we're coming up with ideas that some people have executed already.
Sweet Jimmy T. Oh, Sweet Jimmy T. If you two clowns ever got any real power and could add one new official law to the books, what would it be? No law too big or small. That's a good question. If you could just, if you were mayor of Los Angeles for a week and you could pass, there'd have to be some traffic stuff. I would have my police force writing tickets for people not using turn signals.
Yeah.
That's a big one. I mean, I know it's already a law, but like it's never enforced.
But enforced, yeah, we want that enforced.
Get rid of all no right on red signs. Everything should be right on red, unless it's like a 5-point intersection where
there's a reason those exist. They're blind right turns.
No, there's so many of those are fucking bogus as hell.
I'll use mine to override your law.
The whole fucking left turn arrow thing, like when the straight has got a green, but I'm trying to turn left and I'm sitting at a red arrow. In most other scenarios, you're entrusting me to yield to oncoming traffic before I turn. Why can't I do the same?
I don't like this world that this question's opened up. You're just angry.
A lot of stupid traffic laws out there.
Yeah, my law would be when I'm going somewhere, nobody else gets to drive. That's my law. I want full fucking presidential access to the highway. That's the law.
Another law I would pass, I would make sure that most of the eateries in my city had to be 24 hours. I don't like that L.A.'s the second largest city in America. And
I'm annoyed, yeah.
Good luck finding a good meal after midnight here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Supposed to be a big, hot, happening city, and shit's closing at 10 p.m.
That, I agree with that, but, yeah, I don't know. There's more thought to this.
Oh, here's a good one. JC/special cases. I don't know. That's an odd handle. What was the best Christmas gift you ever got as a kid? And then also, what about as an adult? What was the best Christmas gift you got as a kid?
Mom was always good with the Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
There was a lot of clothes trying to dress me up like the son they wish they had. But then there's always like the thoughtful, like, you know, they got me in the acoustic guitar I got in the back room. They got me one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You like guitars? You don't have an acoustic guitar. It's an acoustic guitar. They're not musical people.
Yeah.
There was a, but there was also like with a lot of information. What do you want? What kind do you want? Like they were always, you know, informed, you know, tell me exactly what you want. Tell Santa what you want.
Yeah.
So, but they were good. They didn't skimp on Christmas.
Even, yeah.
Even when we were poor.
Yeah, my folks
Christmas
were good
never
about
felt
that.
Poor. We yeah. weren't poor. We were just like lower middle class.
Yeah, we were the same. We weren't poor. I never missed a meal, obviously. But there was never like a lot of extra, like,
yeah.
Nothing was taken for granted. Like,
yeah.
You know, my best, I remember my best gift as a kid. I was a huge wrestling fan when I was a kid. I was just obsessed with pro wrestling. And when I was about 8 or 9, this would have been in the mid-80s, Santa Claus brought me the big, it was probably 2 foot by 2 foot, toy replica wrestling ring, WWF wrestling ring, yeah. And about a dozen of the rubber.
Oh, just ready for a
12-inch tall rubber
Royal Rumble type
characters. Like in one gift, I got the 2x2 ring
yeah.
with like the ropes and the squishy canvas and the curtain, the apron, like in the logo. So it was a regular wrestling ring, about two feet by 2 feet. And then I got Hulk Hogan, I got Junkyard Dog, I got the Iron Sheik, I got Big John Studd, I got the Road Warriors, I got and just like holy shit, like just playing with this.
That's
like
it's like the full kit. Like oh, yeah. You guys thought this one out.
Oh man, that was. I can't remember being more ecstatic about a gift as a child. As an adult, yeah, Katie last year got me a record player and like just went out and just bought a bunch of used albums. Didn't know anything about them, but she knew I liked Waylon Jennings. She knew I liked Johnny Cash. Just went out and bought a bunch of records and gave me a record player. I'm a big, you know, I know your thoughts on vinyl, but like when I had my own place, I had a nice collection and a record player. But then when I went back in the van, I sold almost everything. And that was the one thing that like, I was like, fuck, man. Because I didn't even have anywhere to put it, you know, it's like, and I needed the money. So I remember selling my, I think Jake Wiseman bought my record player.
Oh, really?
I sold my record player and a whole grip of records to him, and then whatever I had left I sold to Amoeba, and that was just like, God damn it, because I'm not materialistic, and but that was the one thing I enjoyed having.
No, it's not materialistic. It's like, this thing makes me happy.
Yeah, like I don't collect anything else. I don't care about electronics or clothes or whatever, but like records, and that was my thing, and like to have to sell those was pretty heartbreaking. But last year, Katie, man, she came through. She got me a damn record player and a whole bunch of vinyl. So that's a good gift as an adult.
That is a good gift. I'm trying to think of what. I don't need gifts.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It's always been cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know. But Rachel just, like, get me something in the middle of the year. Like, this look like you would like this. I'm like, oh, thanks. But I can't. I don't have an example.
Josh McAfee, what are your go-to breakfast cereal? Also on the subject, Pop-Tarts or toaster strudel? in theory, toaster strudel is a much superior product.
Were we just talking about breakfast s'mores?
No.
That wasn't with you I was talking about?
Could have been.
You get Golden Grahams and Cocoa Puffs and then get marshmallows in there?
No, I don't remember having that talk. It's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cereal? Oh, let me finish this thought, though. Toaster strudel is a much superior product, but the problem with that is...
You got to do it yourself.
Yeah, the icing and it's all, you know, there's something to be said about just a Pop-Tart also. I like a Pop-Tart.
Who's still cooking a Pop-Tart?
Room temp. I'll eat a Pop-Tart on the go.
What fucking bourgeoisie still toasting a Pop-Tart? Get the fuck out of here.
What's this? Is it Fred 62 that makes their own homemade Pop-Tarts? Those are pretty good.
Yeah, Fred's is a good job.
What's your go-to breakfast here? And now,
No, I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Not worried about nutrition.
I mean, Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams?
Just such a standard.
Do they still make those? That was a staple when I was a kid.
I haven't had cereal in years, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But Golden Grahams. I like a Golden Graham.
Yeah. I'm a coin toss between just classical Cap'n Crunch, not the berries, not the weird, just straight up Cap'n Crunch, or Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Mm-hmm. Goddamn Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And, of course, it's just pure garbage.
CTC.
But, man, tasty.
Yeah, once in a while I'd dip into like your Count Chocula. My dad would always get excited about new marshmallow cereals.
Huh.
Not a childlike man. Didn't communicate much unless it was necessitated, but would come home. Like, he would do the grocery shop. He's like, Booberry's back. And, like, I was at home. I was, like, 20, so he was 50. I'm like, all right, man. Cool.
One of my best...
Just get excited about that stuff.
One of my best breakfast experiences... I don't know if I told this story.
You put cereal in pancake batter?
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. When I was a kid, Mom did all the cooking. Dad never cooked. You know, Dad was busy working, whatever. And I was about 9 is when microwave sausage biscuits hit the market.
Mm-hmm.
And they still make them. Like the Jimmy Deans come 2 in a pack. Not the best sausage biscuit. But
no, that's the cafeteria special.
But at 11:30 at night when you're stoned out of your mind and mm-hmm. you think, oh, boy, that sure would be good. It's nice to have those in the freezer. Anyway, long story short, those came on the market. And every time we'd go to the grocery store, me and my brother and my mom, we'd always hound her. Come on, sausage biscuits. She'd think, nope, that's garbage. You're not eating that. Well, when I was like 9 years old, my mom got real sick mm-hmm. and she was in the hospital for like a month. And not to get all gloomy, but like she almost died. So I just remember after school every day we'd go down and visit her, and Dad was stressed out having to work and haul us around, take care. And now he's thrust into all these new positions, like, you know, having to do grocery shopping and stuff that he's never done, you know, for the family. And it was a pretty easy sell.
Mom always lets us get these.
We told Dad, and he was like, hey, I think his reflex was like, no, she's not going to, you know, I know that she doesn't want you to have those. But then he started thinking like, okay, logistically, so I could make these two little goobers breakfast in 30 seconds. And he caved.
Oh, yeah.
And that was such a victory. We were like, yes! And, man, microwave sausage biscuits were a staple in our house ever since. And we were always like, man, so sorry you were so sick, Mom, and almost died. But silver lining, we're eating microwave sausage biscuits because Dad's pretty cool. So that was fun.
We all have heart disease by the time we're 11.
But, yeah, I just remember, like, such a victory. Like, wow.
Roscoe, this is a double up question, but this is interesting where he said, he asked about superstitions also, but he said, also, have you considered weird superstitions from around the world as a topic?
No.
Which is never something that entered into my thought pattern until I went to Korea,
mm-hmm.
and they believe in fan death. It was so hot when I was there one time, and no place had a ceiling fan. Because they thought circulated air was bad for you.
Well, I told you the story about my Bell's palsy. The doctor said I got it from a ceiling fan.
Oh, we did talk about that.
When I was 21 years old, I got a case of Bell's palsy. And if you don't know what that is, basically I had a small stroke mm-hmm. in my face. And I didn't even notice it at the time.
Yeah.
I learned about that I had gotten it because at work one day I had it and didn't realize it. And multiple people were like, why are you winking at me?
Like, oh, started sliding.
Like, what are you talking about? They're like, you just fucking winked at me. And in my mind, I was like, well, I was blinking.
You got gay bash from your Bell's palsy.
And I was also, I started drooling. So it felt like the whole side of my face was like filled with Novocaine. And finally, I went to the doctor the next day. And the only thing he could come up with, he was like, do you sleep under a ceiling fan? And I go, yeah, I do. And he goes, that's probably it. I don't know.
I think it's a bad. Well, there's a whole country that agrees that it's not healthy for you. It's called South Korea.
Wow.
But that was that one was a good one. Kyle Rondo, I'll take that name. Have y'all looked into Umuomao?
Umuomao.
Papa Umuomao. The surfing bird?
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't heard it discussed to any length. Potential alien probe that was discovered very recently. Seems like something a couple of dipshits like yourselves would want to mention. I should have read that one first. You son of a bitch, Kyle. We're rascals, us Kyles.
No, I'm unfamiliar with that.
I'm looking it up.
But I'll put it on the list.
Well, the SETI thing just started. Well, let's just do the easy old Wikipedia. Oh, no, is this...
While you're
this
looking
wasn't the weird thing they just saw moving that they thought was possibly an alien craft, but it was just some sort of meteor that passed by.
The long thing that looked like a...
Yeah, this is... all right, you know what? That's a good question, but we should read more about this because it is curious. And we're not going to answer it just by telling you we're reading the Wikipedia article. We'll have it open. We'll devote a whole episode to... fucking our way through that.
Ian, would you rather fuck your girlfriend's body with your mom's brain or your mom's body with your girlfriend's brain? Fuck you, Ian. How about that?
Ian, that's a terrible question.
Yeah, go fuck yourself for putting that into my brain, you asshole. Oh, that's awful. Ugh.
Yeah.
I hope that's not a real question.
I hope Ian answered it for himself, and that's why he's had to put that in the world. I can't stop thinking about this.
Ugh.
Nick Kazuski. I recently moved to Prague in the Czech Republic, and I was wondering if you knew about any places in Europe that are supposedly haunted. Yeah, it's called Europe. P.S. It'd be super cool if you guys made more Boogie Monster t-shirts. We should work on that.
Yeah.
Go to that fucking bone church. In
what's
Prague.
That?
The church made out of human bones.
No.
You look it up on your computer right now. Look
bone church?
Prague bone church.
How do you spell Prague?
P-R-A-G-U-E. Edinburgh, everything there was haunted. Like the whole place. Like the cities there just feel like, oh yeah, this is where ghost stories started. Like you don't get a ghost story walking around.
Yeah.
The United States as much. You're not just like, oh, this is... haunted Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, dog,
as hell.
Go to the fucking bone church.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be haunted. It's a church made of human bones. I heard Prague's beautiful. I hope you're enjoying it. You know what? Give us any tips because I would love to see that place. But I can only imagine some of the haunted war history and stuff that exists and just. You know, that for a while there was Eastern Europeans were always portrayed as villains in movies, like Hostel and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it went away from the Russians.
And was that Prague? Where was that supposed to be set? That first one?
I don't know.
I feel like it was or Slovakia.
Croatia, somewhere like that. But, I mean, I think, yeah, buddy, I think you'll find plenty of haunted stuff. They got castles, dude.
Yeah.
They got straight up castles. You got Stonehenge if you make it over there. Not necessarily haunted, but just something to see.
I feel like we've probably asked this question before or touched on it, but like, why does anything haunted have to be so old? Like, are there new haunted? Like, if somebody gets murdered in a hotel down the street, you know, next week, could there be a ghost floating around?
Because it just adds the story. You're not going to go to a haunted Chipotle.
But why not? What if something tragic happened there?
Because it's still Chipotle.
Well, I get that, like, we may not want to go visit it, but I'm saying in the rules and laws of ghostdom.
Because most of them are fake, and so they're set in places that are already spooky. You go to a place that's already spooky, your eyes are going to play tricks on you, and your senses are going to be heightened. If you're just in a Chipotle after dark, you're smoking pot with the assistant manager, and it's not that scary.
But if something tragic happened there, could there be a ghost floating around
Chipotle? That's kind of why Poltergeist was creepy, because it was just a plain old suburban house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Did you ever do anything with that bit? Was that show up on a special, the guy, the ghost that haunts a studio apartment?
No, that one's...
That was funny, man. Didn't you make that, like, you turned that into like a 15-minute bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's everything if I keep saying it for too long. I don't know what to do.
William Peck asks, as professional comedians, how do you guys feel about a comedy club that does not serve alcohol and has a full weed bar?
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Very hard to make stoned people pay attention to your jokes.
Especially when they're all stoned. And yeah. I remember when Denver first became legal, and going there, like, haven't been there before, and then go back. I'm like, oh, yeah, nobody can listen to a story that's over 3 minutes long.
Yep.
I mean, it's better now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a bad idea.
Well, there's been shows, that show Midnight Run. I think Andy Haynes ran it for a while.
Creek in a Cave. Where, yeah, like, I did that. It was a disaster.
Yeah, like all the comics and the audience get high as shit.
Yeah, and it's an utter waste of time.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea.
I was like, no, it's not a good idea.
I mean,
it's a bad idea.
In theory, it's an interesting idea, but
you can do it once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that's like getting Doug with high. Do that. I'm like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
Has this ever gone well? This has ever been fun? Hey, you know what I like about being high? Having cameras pointed at my face. I mean, I agreed to do it. Don't get me wrong. But I keep agreeing, like, maybe this time will be different. It's never different.
You did one with Tommy Chong, didn't you? Weren't you guys on the same
Tommy
episode?
Chong showed up, and I'm high, and all I can think is, like, Tommy Chong's a crazy old man.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I just weed. I'm fine with weed, but weed people are insufferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not a miracle drug. It's good. I agree it has benefits. Mm-hmm. But stop being like...
But talk about something else every now and then.
Oh, God.
Brian Lee. Dave, what the hell? Seriously. I don't know, dude.
It's a good answer.
Yeah. Just, I don't know, man.
It's a, hey, Hayden, it's a great question. You guys will do an episode with the girlfriends as guests. No. Rachel doesn't give a shit.
Katie doesn't care.
No. She don't listen to this. I saw some other, what was a good one here? Ryan Lawrence, a little late on this one, but if you guys were to make your own haunted house, the attraction's not a real haunted house, what kind of rooms, themes would you put in it?
I wasn't listening.
If you could make a haunted house, not an actual one, but like a Halloween haunted house.
Okay.
I always had a joke that a good haunted house would be just your house that you grew up in, but you'd have to go through it as your dad, and every room would be you at a different age.
Ooh.
You know, like, you'd have to look at you as a 15-year-old yelling at yourself as your dad, like, well, if you would let me, if you want to support me, you'd let me build a skateboard ramp in between our garage and the neighbor's garage, and that's how I'm going to get good. But you won't, so I'm never going to get good at anything. I'm not even try anymore. I'm like, oh, yeah, my kid sucks.
Is that a real conversation y'all had?
It's more thoughts. I never said it out loud. But the idea that, like, you'd have to, like, look at yourself as a child from your parents' perspective.
Huh.
So you'd walk through your own house. Oh, well, that's... We could clearly hear him masturbating.
Yeah.
He's wearing headphones. And that's a bad idea when you're doing a private activity.
Because you can't hear yourself.
Just being an adult going, how many times has it been this evening alone? Please stop doing this to your body in our tiny house. Like that. Like, have you ever thought about that?
Man, speaking of that,
how much that's what people, like, your parents absolutely knew how much you beat off.
You know, I didn't, this is personal, but it's the bonus. You know, I didn't jack off till I was 18.
I mean,
I tried for some reason. This is what I did. I was fucking dumb, man.
How did you not succeed?
This is how stupid I was. For some reason, I would try it.
Did you hold your hand still? And
when I was flaccid. I was like rubbing. And I didn't stick with it long enough to change that. And I just remember a couple seconds in, like, this sucks. What am I doing wrong? Like, I never worked up a nice bone. I would just, like, all right, all my friends are talking about this. And I would just just stroke my limp dick and
Dave.
Then get bored 10 seconds later.
I was...
And then one day when I was 18, and I'm not going to tell you what spawned this on the air, but one day it just all clicked, and I was like, oh, got it. Well, this sounds crazy too, but also part of the reason was like I did pretty well as a teenager.
Boning?
I started pretty early, so there wasn't like these huge gaps of like celibacy or whatever where like
you boned
where
I just before you jerked off?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I think I told you that. I got my first HJ when I was 13. She was 12.
Oh.
Technically, I got an HJ from a 12-year-old.
See,
and I started.
You give people these sound bites.
And I started boning when I was 15.
Bring them up in court.
Started boning when I was 15, and I was a victim. I was a survivor of statutory rape. She was 18.
Oh boy,
yeah, some survivor. But yeah, so
you
I was,
go to a therapist.
I started real early, so there wasn't, and I always had like a steady girlfriend.
I had 10 years of practice before I got laid,
and then like you know, in between, you know, there'd be times where I'm like, all right, let me see what's going on with this jacking off thing, and I just never. I was like, I'm doing something wrong. I don't know, and I just gave up on it.
I was doing something wrong. I was definitely doing something wrong.
All right.
Another boner. Well, we know how to get.
When's the first
these.
Time you jacked off?
I don't remember. I think it's eighth grade.
Yeah,
seventh grade maybe. No, younger than that. I don't know. I was a real fucking monster.
Oh,
you
want
to talk about obsessive compulsive disorder? Like, when do you know it goes from just being a teenager to stop doing this?
Yeah. See, I missed out on that. I never. You know, I was never the 15-year-old who's just jacking off six times a day. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go
six.
I'm gonna go bone my 12-year-old girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We need to just cut out the last 10 minutes.
Sorry about all that.
Ian Bowers wants to know, is our Patreon money going towards Dave's arson legal defense fund?
Shut up.
Take arson out of it and just say legal defense fund at this point. Ooh. Well, what else we got?
You want to do one more?
Throw another one there?
Eric Price asked Dave, Kyle, what do you think is the worst trend in comedy these days? Ooh.
The amount of people, the amount of tourists in comedy.
Well, we talked a little bit last time on, I'm not a huge fan of the roast battle. Like, if they, you know, I'm not going to shit on it. If that's what you want. That's fine. But like... I just feel like a generation of newer comics are being taught that that's what comedy is now. Like just schoolyard dissing.
Somebody, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, I could still have that. Somebody made a video and I want to find it. Oh, this guy, Jay Christopher. Joe Quazala. It's just this guy. He's like making fun of comedy now, but like part of me, I was like, I should be offended, but it's real funny. He's like, you know, he's like holding a Pabst with a beard and like, I mentioned that I'm a scumbag a lot. You know, I let people know about that. And I also do. I call it what's he called in the video? He's like, I call it description and emotion. That's right. It's my style of comedy. I'll be like, it's like I was laying in my blanket. I was like a burrito made of despair. You know, I was doing that. Like, and I did like that was the Patton Oswalt thing, and then that was the most mimicked like an object that's an emotion. You know, I'm just like a toilet bowl filled with sadness. You know,
yeah.
And he made fun of it pretty well in this video. I'm like, all right, yeah, I got to give you that one. It was funny.
One thing I can't fucking stand. Is maybe I'll let it slide at an open mic where you're clearly working on new stuff, but in any other performance, fucking comics whipping out their cell phone and just casually scrolling through the notes and what else did I mean, how about you perform a little bit?
If you were going up there with written notes anyway.
But like at a show, like I don't want to see – if somebody paid money to see the show, I don't want to see the headliner up there just casually. What else do I want to talk about? Scroll. Part of comedy is remembering your fucking material.
Aesthetically, I don't like it either. But if somebody's going to go up there with notes and I don't mind, I can't get mad at the phone. I've seen people record specials with notes.
Really? Oh, I have too. Yes.
We don't have to talk.
Oh my God, dude! It's not an open mic. You're on HBO.
Overwhelmed with the idea.
Yeah.
Of doing a special.
Yeah, that's.
I need to let people know I'm not too rehearsed.
Yeah. Well, we got it.
Why even put pants on?
Yeah. Yeah.
With my fucking jammies, and I didn't even brush my teeth.
Yeah. Speaking of which, fucking no shorts. And if you're going to wear a hat, I know you wear a hat, but you're different. Like, you do a lot of dive bars and stuff, but, like, just comedy club with shorts and a backwards cap or a fucking tank top. I did a show with a guy wearing a fucking tank top. Not that I'm Jerry Seinfeld wearing a suit, but put forth a little effort. Respect the stage a little bit.
Respect the stage. Anyway, I put my dick in my 12-year-old girlfriend. Don't worry, I was 13. Look at this guy with shorts on, not respecting the theater.
It's not
respecting the presentation.
That's not in my act.
Our parade of dick jokes.
Yet. I never did too many dick jokes.
All right. Well, I don't know what else. Alexandra Onesto. Dave, What's the biggest disaster you've ever made?
Oh, my God.
She's talking food, I would say. A destroyed home. Burnt or taste. And then she asks, Kyle, would you have eaten it?
Okay.
Biggest folly in the kitchen, I guess she's.
Man, I made some fisherman stew about 6 months ago. And I smoked a lot of the fish. And it just didn't work.
Really?
It just didn't work. I was very disappointed.
Is it, but if it, like, not work for you where it didn't turn out the way you like, but it was still, people would be like, this is still good. It's just,
I could see how, I mean, it wasn't awful. I could see how some people would eat it and be like, oh, I like it. I hated it. I just didn't like it. Just didn't come together. I got a bunch of, like, cheap white fish, smoked it, and then also had some smoked oysters, and just didn't come together. Just tasted. And that's the thing about stews and soups and stuff. And as much as I've been making chili lately, well, it's just, you could compare it to like doing stand up. You know, you do the exact same jokes in the exact same manner on Tuesday night as you did Monday night, and it killed on Monday and you bombed on Tuesday. And the same thing with like soups and stews. Same ingredients, same method, same everything. And sometimes it just doesn't turn out right.
It just goes sideways on you.
Yeah.
Well, I probably would have tried it.
Yeah. It's all right. But. Well, cool.
We answered a lot of these.
Yeah, we got to most of these, and ones we didn't get, we'll save them and do them next month. How about that? How you like that shit, huh?
I like that shit.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. The Boogie Monster.